And it's just honor, because, you know, if God speaks to his heart, he's going to come out and share what's on his heart, you know. But and if you're in the place, you know, you're in a position to receive. You know, so that's the beauty of knowing what I got to, you know. One of the things my wife was on me this past Sunday, she said, we're leaving later and later for church. I said, okay. And then when we got here, just when we got here, I think I was talking to somebody. I went up front to the restroom. By the time I came back, he was on the stage, you know. So, I mean, at least I caught it. But it was just, you know, it's making that conscious effort to be here on time. That's honor. It's just showing honor and reverence and respect to our man of God that God has placed with, because our word is in his mouth. Amen. Amen. So when you're there to receive it, you're able to receive the benefits and the blessings of God. I got 1 minute, so I'm going to just go ahead and start praying. Matter of fact, I don't have much time to start now. Amen. Being punctual. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I thank you for each and every student who is in the sound of my voice, those on the internet and those here at the campus here at Darrell, Lord God. As we teach on the subject of honor, I thank you, Lord God, that wisdom and revelation and knowledge, Lord God, revelation knowledge will be imparted into each and every student. Lord, I just humble myself down as a servant unto you. I thank you, Lord God, I only speak what you want me to speak, Lord God, and I thank you that you put your thoughts in my mind that I may hear and know what you would have me to say clearly. And Father, as always, if the Holy Spirit does not show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. So I am completely and totally dependent upon him to lead me and guide me in the way that he or the way that you want me to go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we're going to take somewhat of a turn. I was instructed a couple of years ago not only just to teach about honor, but also to teach about one of the major, or probably the major, most major hindrance to honor, and that is pride. Pride. The Bible says pride goeth before the fall, you know. So in order to walk in honor, we must know how not to walk in pride, and what pride is, and how to avoid it, how to recognize it when it tries to creep up in our lives. And we're going to see that from, you know, from our very existence, pride, because we were born into sin, we were born into a prideful world because of Satan. You know, and even though we got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, that spirit of pride wants to rise its head up every now and then, because we all are human. And that's why it's so very important that we empty ourselves and say, Lord, no, none of me and all of you, because anything that's of me could have self-will, self-desire, self-motivation that may be opposed to what you want me to do. But anyway, let's get into this teaching. Amen. The biggest adversary of the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride, which takes its root from the spirit of Leviathan. Now, I also want to point out, I'm going to spell a few words. What I'm teaching won't be in your books, so you're going to definitely have to take notes. Next week, if I think about it, I'll bring the small book that I was given as a supplement to teach on pride. So that way, if you want to look it up on the internet or whatever, you can. But the spirit of pride takes its roots in the spirit of Leviathan. Leviathan is spelled V-E-L-I-A-T-H-A-N, the spirit of Leviathan. In Isaiah 27:1, it says, in that day, the Lord will, with his sword and great and strong sword, will punish Leviathan, that piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that corked serpent. He shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. That's Isaiah 27:1. It talks about the spirit of Leviathan. Leviathan takes his roots in pride. So what is Leviathan? God describes Leviathan in the book of Job. Job chapter 41, if you want to go and reference that and read Job 41 later, it describes Leviathan as a sea monster or sea looking creature called Leviathan, to reveal to Job that he was operating in pride. This is a strong evil spirit that is named Leviathan. Leviathan is an evil demonic spirit which has its roots in pride. Strong's Concordance gives the definition of Leviathan as a withered animal or serpent-like sea monster. Now, we got to look at this in spiritual terms. It talks about he's a monster that's in the sea, some sea serpent. And one author gave the illustration of the sea as being a sea of people, or humanity, everybody in humanity. And then you have ministries and all these people in that sea, and if they're not saved, they're drowning. You know, they're trying to get air. And then you have all these ships in the sea, which are ministries that are there to rescue people out of that sea of humanity or people drowning. But then there's the spirit of Leviathan that tries to attack ministries and individuals with the spirit of pride and arrogance. And we're going to see how that will affect honor, because I want to make sure that everything that we do is in reference to how pride will affect you walking in honor. Amen. And I said that the scriptures say that this represents the sea represents the nations of the people. There is a dragon in the sea, people of the nations, and God is going to slay that dragon. The nations of this world are consumed by this dragon or sea monster, this monster known as Leviathan, the evil spirit of pride, manipulation, and control, controlling the masses of this world through the sin of pride. Job 41 and 34 says, "He beholdeth all things. He is a king over all the children of pride." This is the spirit of Leviathan. The Amplified says, "Of all the beasts, he is the proudest. He reigns supreme over all the pride of the earth." And that's the spirit of Leviathan, which is pride. Another way of stating it is this: he looks down on all who are haughty. He is the king or the ruler over all who are proud. Pride and Leviathan are practically synonymous. It is hard to separate them. There was a song back in the 70s. And one of the lyrics of that song says, "When you finally break it on down, it's the pride. You know, it's the pride that makes you do the things that you do. It's the pride." I never forget that growing up. And as I got to thinking about it, you know, people, you know, go off the deep end and do various things and say things that they probably wouldn't have said because of pride and arrogance and haughtiness. And all of these have their roots in sin. And all of these are very detrimental to us walking in the spirit of honor. Many people fall prey to Satan's temptations and are trapped into this sin of pride, which is in most cases renders them incapable of getting back up and walking in honor, because pride is so deeply rooted in their hearts. Leviathan, like a serpent, twists himself around a person, making them hard and callous to where they can't hear. One of the things that the spirit of pride will do, it'll keep you from receiving revelation. It'll keep you from hearing the voice of God because of pride. A lot of times, a person who walks in pride, it's a spirit of you can't tell me what to do. I'm my own person. I'm my own woman. You know, arrogance, haughtiness, you know, a person who just, you know, everything is about them. And it's not about submitting. It's not about walking in humility, but it's about, you know, looking out for number one. And that's that spirit of pride. It also, let's move on. It says pride will keep you from getting back in your position and alignment with God, what God has called you to do. A lot of times a person may get corrected, or the word will come forth and the word will convict them, but pride will cause them to get disconnected. I'll never forget this one illustration where a gentleman got in error, and he was part of one of the auxiliaries in church. He was a part of prison ministry. And I was approached and I was told, because of the era that he had got into, to set him down for a season. And I was told the person who I submit to said, I can speak to him or you can speak to him. I said, well, since he reports to me, I'll give and convey that information to him. So we went out to a restaurant and I sat down with him and I told him that, you know, because of the situation, which that's irrelevant, but I've been asked to sit you down. And immediately pride rose up. You know, they just heard, they didn't hear my side. They only heard the other person's side. You know, why they're against me? You know, everything was me and you know, I'm not being represented, you know. And I said, hold on, you know, just calm down. You know, there's always a reason why things are done the way they're done. And you might not understand it, but it's going to help you basically to walk more in humility. But he wouldn't have it. He cried and he was upset. And I told him, I said, don't let this be the reason why you separate from the ministry. And he told me before that night's over, he says, I don't know if I can come back. And for years, he hadn't come back. Now, I see him every now and then. He'll come back. But, you know, and I'll talk to him and say, yeah, I enjoyed the word. It was good. And he knows he needs to be here. And I'm just using one illustration. There's probably many like this. But pride is keeping him from reconnecting. Pride. You know, he was used in the ministry. Even one time he came and he sat and the apostle saw him in the ministry. And he said, son, he said, if anybody wronged you, he was talking with him because he told me after the service, yeah, apostle was talking to me. He said, if anybody wronged you, come see me. You know, I'm glad to see you back. You know, but he didn't come back next Sunday or next Wednesday. And it was because of pride. You know, pride will keep, it'll disconnect you from the supernatural. It'll disconnect you from your destiny. Because it's getting back to the illustration, and I see why the author used the word a serpent or a snake or some sea monster that's slimy, that's got scales, you know, and even they use the word snake. I watched a movie the other day about anacondas and how anacondas will wrap themselves around you and squeeze all the life out of you. Pride will squeeze all the spiritual life out of you. Pride will squeeze all of the spiritual life out of you because and once it gets a grip on you, it's not going to want to let you go. The only thing that's going to break that spirit of pride is the supernatural. You got to be delivered from that because pride, once it gets a hold, it'll get a hold of your mind. It'll get a hold of your whole. It'll totally put you in a different direction than what God has placed you in. Amen. But the opposite of pride is humility. Jesus is the ultimate example of true humility. Always acknowledging and honoring. Jesus was always acknowledging and honoring his Father. He says, I only do what I see my Father do. You know, me and my Father, we are one. You know, every step Jesus made was a step of humility. When you walk in true godly humility, you're on a mission for somebody else. You know, you're following the dictates of the person that you're loyal to where you have your allegiance. You know, true humility, you know, is walking in an assignment and carrying that assignment and doing what you're told. Jesus, if you look, well, I'm going to just read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, and I may not read all of it, but this is talking about Jesus and his walk of humility, which is the opposite of pride. Humility will usher you into honor. You know, before honor, the Bible says, is humility. Before honor is humility. So when you're walking in humility, you're one step away and walking in the direction of pride. But I'm sorry, walking in the direction of honor. But when you're walking in pride, you're walking away from honor. You took an about face and you went in another direction. This is what it says about Jesus. It says, let this mind, this is Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, going from 5 all the way down to 11. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, thought it was not something to just grasp and obtain and hang on to just for myself. He said, but verse 7 says, but he made himself of no reputation. In other words, he stripped himself of any reputation he might have had in heaven, being seated on the right hand on the throne of God. You know, he stripped himself of all royalty and dignity and deity that he had. He put down his crown. He took off his robe of and the Bible says he became as a man. Let me read further. He said, and he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. A servant is somebody who serves. Servanthood is so very important, and in the body of Christ, we need to learn the importance of servanthood. Serving. When I see somebody operating in servitude or serving, we went to a restaurant today, my wife and I. We generally after work don't go home. We just sit out at a restaurant, get a light bite to eat. That way I don't have to rush back into Baton Rouge and then rush back over here. I'm rested and ready to roll, ready to minister. But there was a waiter, and she was serving us. You know, she says, I got some extra chips. If you want some chips, you know, at no charge. So she brought chips to the table. And then every time my glass would be halfway full, she's pouring me more tea. You know, I guess what I want to say in area of servitude is that a servant is always working and serving others. Okay, it's not about me, but it's about you. It's about you being satisfied. When you're at a good restaurant and somebody's really serving you, you want to tip them graciously because they have served you well. Okay. Same, no difference. When you're working in a ministry and God has called you under an anointing, under an apostolic governmental mantle, you're serving and you want to make sure that whatever your position is, whatever God's called you to do, that you do it with the spirit of excellence. You know, do it. I don't want to use this illustration, but I'm thinking about something that just happened recently. But, you know, one thing I've learned, and I'm going to say it, and some people are going to pick it up. But if somebody under the apostle, who sits under the apostle, who's been loyal to the apostle, say, this is not good enough. Shut it off. Don't do that. And then you come back and you display it again, and then the apostle see it, guess what? You're going to get cut down again. Harder. You know, I mean, one thing I've learned, the people here who I submit under, when they say something, I take it as though the apostle said it, because they're under direct delegated authority under him. I'll never forget. I'm kind of going off, but that's what I do. I was driving home one day from church and I got a phone call from Brother Ronald. Brother Gotro, and he's over prison ministry. I submit to him in delegated authority. And he says, Greg, he says, are there any ministries that you guys go to where you're ministering during the same time pastor is ministering? And I got to think, I said, well, yeah, we have some people go on Wednesday night, and then we have people who go on Sunday. But most time we're able to go right after service. But sometimes we do have a early service that they may not be at service at. He says, we don't want no ministry to take place while the apostle is ministering. So anything that y'all doing that's conflicting with a church service, shut it down. Okay? I took those words as the words of the apostle. Okay? Because I know he's operating under delegated authority and he's in a position of authority, you know, and I know just like the Syrian soldier, if he tell one to go, he says, I'm in a man in authority and under authority, you know. And the reason why I'm saying this, it tried to grip me, because I'm saying, you know, we didn't work to get all these particular places set up, and now over half of them, I'm gonna have to shut them down. And I'm sitting in the car and I'm just thinking about it for a few seconds. And the Lord says, you know, whose ministry is this? Is this your ministry or is this the apostle ministry? Apostle ministry. We're shutting it down. So immediately I started calling people saying, we got to shut this down. We got to shut this down. We got to shut this down. And I got the same response from them. Okay, we're going to submit. We're going to do it. You know, and lo and behold, not long after that, all kind of doors open up, better doors open up, you know. And it's all about honor, you know. It's all about servitude, and it's all about submitting properly and not allowing pride or arrogance or something you set up. You know, your favorite song might not be sung today. You know, you've been practicing this song, you're in the choir, and you're ready to roll. You got all the words down, the melody down, your voice is kicking that day, and all of a sudden, we ain't singing it. What? We ain't singing it? Hey, that's when, you know, it used to be that expression, swallow your pride. Well, you shouldn't be swallowing something you don't have. You know, you really shouldn't be swallowing something you don't have. I'll never forget my first tour of duty in the school of ministry when I was an instructor some 7-8 years ago when we had the school of ministry on Saturday. I was all fired up and charged, ready to minister that day. I'd studied and I was teaching on I can't remember the subject right off the top of my head, but anyway, right after I finished praying, I'm getting into the lesson. All of a sudden, Brother Ronald walks in the door, say, "Shut it down. The apostle is going to be ministering in the sanctuary." And I'm saying, it was like, you know, your motor's running, all of a sudden. And I thought about it for a few seconds. I said, "Is it better for the students to hear me or the apostle?" "The apostle." "Everybody, let's go. We're going in the main sanctuary." You know, that's, you know, because see, one thing I have learned, you're going to be challenged in ministry. And your loyalty, which is something we're going to talk about next semester, and your submission is going to be put to the test. It's going to be put to, but what it does when you pass these tests, it makes you more, it causes you to yield to a greater capacity. And by doing that, the anointing of God now is able to flow to you in a greater measure simply because you're more yielded to it. You know, how can I say it? Certain metals are more conductive to electricity than others. You got aluminum, which is conductive, but copper is more conductive. Most of your 220, you know, and your high voltage stuff, a lot of times that's copper, you know, because it's more conductive, you know. And you see, the more you learn to submit, the more now you can become a conductor. For the anointing of God to flow, because there's no resistance, no resistance. But pride, on the other hand, will cause you to resist, cause you to, you know, just go all out of whack. And I'm not going to read any more out of Philippians because I didn't waste it all that time. All right. I'm giving you a definition of pride. What is pride? Now, to a person who's walking in pride, pride is a reasonable and a justifiable sense of one's self-worth or position, living for self, or a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem. I'm going to read that again. To a person who's walking in pride and don't realize it, pride for them is a reasonable and a justifiable sense of one's self-worth or position, living for self, or a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem. But now, for people who see that they're operating pride, it's an unreasonable and an unjustifiable sense of self-worth. In other words, you're over the top. You got an ultra ego problem. You know, sometimes you can see it on people, but a person walking in pride just think they're just, hey, I'm just being who I am. But they're full of pride. You know, and pride will go before the fall. Say, pride will make you think that you're the man or you're the woman. It'll give you I'm it, having an ultra ego. Another definition is arrogance, which is also associated with pride, a feeling or an expression of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or presumptuous claim. It is the attitude or feeling superior are scolding others because of their intellectual level or their lack of ability or because of the color of their skin, their native country, or any other excuse that might exalt a particular person above somebody else. That's just being plain outright arrogant. You know, when you just insult somebody, you just you belittle them, you bemean them because of the color of their hair, the color of their skin, their nationality, their gender or whatever. You know, you just I'm it. You're not because of whatever. That's just being plain arrogant. Another attribute of pride is haughtiness. A person who has a haughty spirit, a person who walks in haughtiness is they're having or showing an insulting attitude of people who think they are better, smarter, or more important than others. Those people, they try to put you down, and they blatantly, they generally are blatantly and distastefully proud. In other words, it's pride to a whole nother level. You know, they don't have a problem showing their pridefulness. They're proud. They are proud of their pridefulness when you walk in and just haughtiness. Amen. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness all run together. To be used by God, you always want to stay small in your own eyes. One gentleman here at the ministry shared that with me some 15 years ago, and he has no idea that when he shared that with me, it affected me in a good way. You always want to stay small in your own eyes. Even when people exalt you, tell you, you know, you've been a blessing, what you shared, you ministered last Sunday. I went back and I listened to the CD or watched it on Roku four times, you know, but you always want to stay small in your own eyes. I remember we had lunch a Saturday or two ago, 2 weeks ago, my wife and I with some LTMA members, and two LTMA Master Vision Bearers was at a table adjacent or just across from us. And when we were leaving, one of the Master Vision Bearer, Dr. Forbes, said, "Brother Calhoun, I just appreciate your humbleness and your meekness, you know." And you want to just, oh wow, that kind of pumps you up. And all I could tell him says, you know, "Dr. Forbes, I am what I am by the grace of God." You know, you always want to, because in you, in our flesh, there's really no good thing, you know. But when we empty that and we allow God to fill us, then we're able now to walk in absolute humility, absolute, you know, obedience and honor. And that's where that honor comes in. Amen. And that's where we all are. And we're going to strive even more so towards perfection. What the Bible says about pride. Proverbs 21:4 says, "A proud look, a high look, or a proud heart, and a plowing of wickedness is sin." A high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of wickedness. You know, when you plow in a field, you're getting it ready to plant some seeds. When you plow in a field, you're getting it ready to plant some seeds. So when you're plowing pride, you're getting ready to harvest some sin, you know, because pride, the root of all sin actually is pride. And we're going to get into that in a few minutes if I don't run out of time. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. This spirit is rooted in all sin, the spirit of Leviathan. I'm going to read that again. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness is all defined as the spirit of Leviathan. This spirit is the root of all sin. So the spirit of Leviathan is the root of all sin. It was pride that caused Satan to rebel against God in heaven. For this prideful act, he was cast out of heaven. Proverbs 6:16 says, "These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." So one of the first one is a proud look. This is something that the Lord hates, because, and we're going to see in a minute, that Satan's fall came because of his beauty, because of he was the anointed cherub who's essentially up there in heaven with God, the leader of praise and worship. He exalted himself above measure, and he wanted to be like the Most High. But because of that, the Bible says God cast him down to the pit, you know, because he said in his heart, I'm going to be like God. He wanted to overrule and he wanted to be the man. But instead he became, you know, God cast him out of heaven and he was stripped of all his glory. It says here in Job 40:12, look on everyone that is proud and bring him low and tread down the wickedness in their place. Job 40:12, look down on everyone that is proud and bring them low and tread down the wickedness in their place. Satan's heart was lifted with pride because the spirit of Leviathan, he allowed the very thing that God hated, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness, to corrupt his heart. Okay, and I'm gonna read this from the Bible. If you got your Bibles with me, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And we're gonna start with verse 14. And this is basically talking about Satan's fall, his brightness, and how he let it escape him because he allowed pride to get into his heart. Ezekiel 28, verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God and has walked and walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covered cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquities and by the iniquities of thy traffic. Therefore I have brought a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that that behold thee. This is God talking about Lucifer, how he was gonna cast him down because of his brightness, because of all his splendor. He allowed it to get to his head, you know, and that's why, getting back to the statement I just said a little while ago, you always want to stay small in your own eyes, no matter what anybody might be telling you. I like what Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. You know, because if it wasn't for God's grace, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for God's grace, you know, I probably would be dead right now. But because of his grace and because of, you know, what God saw in me, you know, the Bible says that he's the potter, and we're the clay. And a lot of us were just a bunch of mud, a bunch of clay, that had no formlessness and no shape. But as we allowed and yielded ourselves to God, God now will mold us and shape us into vessels of honor, meet for the master's use. That's where you want to be. That's where honor comes in. When now you're allowing God to shape you and to mold you into his glory. Because in each and every one of us, there's talents, there's gifts, there's an anointing to glorify God, you know. And it's so very important that we flow into our God-given anointings, our God-given assignments, walking in alignment with the assignment that God has for our lives, so that we can now be a blessing to the body of Christ. Amen? And walk in honor. All right, let me move on. All right, let's see. The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up with pride. The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up with pride. That's where everything started to turn. A prideful and an arrogant person is weak and easily falls into temptation. Each time a person allows pride and arrogance to creep in, he reminds God of the rebellion caused by Satan when he was in heaven. So each time a person allows pride to reach or come into their life, and that's why God hates it so, because it reminds him of Lucifer, because he knows that's where that came. That's where it originated from. That's why pride is such is. And you see, and that's something that Satan tries to wrap his hold upon our lives with pride. Because once that serpent or once that sea monster it talks about, Leviathan, grips you, that's like a python, it don't want to let you go. It just constrains you, like it just grips you more and more and more. And if you don't know how to resist and to stand against it and to cast it down, it'll choke you. And after a while, you won't receive no revelation. You won't walk in any anointing because pride has got a hold of you. I know personally men who God had used and had an anointing on their lives. You could see it on them, but they allowed pride to get in. And the Bible says pride go before the fall. One person I'm thinking about died at an early age. I know God had a call on his life, but pride and arrogance, you know, mishandling members in the body of Christ because of that pride and that arrogance caused him to fall and miss the mark that God set for him. That's not going to be us. We're going to walk in. And, you know, one of the things the Lord has permitted me to see things. And then when I sit back and say, okay, Lord, what can I get from this? You know, and that's why it's so very important to in every situation that you go through, you say, okay, Lord, what is the lesson I need to learn? What are you saying to me so that I can move forward from this point and not let this obstacle hinder me or slow me down from entering into what everything that you have for me? All right, let me move on. Let's see. After Satan was cast out of heaven, he used the deceptiveness of the spirit of pride, which led to mankind's fall in Genesis. So he was the one after he got cast out of heaven. Now God created Adam and Eve, you know, sometime later and gave them dominion and authority over all the works of God's hand. And so now Satan is jealous because he wants that authority. And he used his deceptiveness and used pride, the pride of life, to deceive Adam into thinking that, you know, that if you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you're going to become like God. And in actuality, Adam and Eve was already like God. They were already made in his image. They already had everything. So God gave him one instruction: of all the trees in the garden, you can eat freely. But of that tree over there, don't touch it. Don't even look at it. Just stay away from it, you know, because that tree now, you already know good. That tree now is going to introduce you to evil. You already, because God is good and everything they had was already provided for them. But here comes Satan with his deceptiveness, you know, because he was cast out. He didn't want them now to take the place that he thought he should have had. And he tried to deceive them. Said the fall of Satan, the fallen angel Satan, who from heaven, as described in Luke 10:18, Satan still has a craving to be like God. As a result of his fall, he beguiled Eve and deceived Adam through trickery to turn over their authority to him. Our whole nature before we were saved became now infected with pride. The temptation to know good and evil, to eat of that forbidden fruit was motivated by pride that Satan allowed to get root in Adam and Eve. You know, because they all of a sudden now, yeah, you know, I can be like God. But in actuality, you already were like God. You know, but that's what pride will do, you know. And that's why I use the expression, you always want to stay small in your own eyes. And I got 11 minutes, so let me move on. Pride shows no respect to authority and is selfish and is arrogant, believes in individualism. You know, in other words, pride is actually a person who walks in pride. They are a renegade. They are a long ranger. You know, they might submit outwardly, but inwardly in their heart, they're in resistance, you know, and eventually it's going to show up. You know, pride has its roots. You know, I mean, sin has its roots in pride. So it says pride has no respect to authority and is selfish, is arrogant, believes in individualism, believes in self-dependency, whereas honor shows respect, honor shows submission, honor shows loyalty, honor walks in one accord and love toward others. Honor has its dependency in God only and respects and submit to all and walks in God's order and authority. That's what honor does. But as I stated earlier, pride is all about me, individualism, self-dependency, you know, I, me, and nobody else. You know, pride is only thinking about how can I gain from this situation, you know. But, you know, those who are greatest in the kingdom of heaven is a servant of all. You know, when you have that servant, that humble, submitted position, you put yourself, God now is able to use you. When you humbly submit to God and submit to God's will, God is going to use you. A person operating in pride may act like they're submitting outwardly, but inwardly their hearts are full of far from submission. Another scripture, Isaiah 14:12-14, talks about how Lucifer, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did it weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, this is what Lucifer said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You see, I think it was at least six times he said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to exalt my throne. You know, individualism, a renegade, you know, a rebel, you know, all of that's pride. And because of that, he was brought down to the sides of the pit. I'm going to say it again. I'm a repeater. Pride always says, I. Pride is full of selfishness, self-exaltation, self-centeredness, overly confident in self or one's own abilities. A prideful person has an independent spirit. When you have a person who has an independent spirit, it's okay to be an independent thinker, but you need to be in one accord with and flow together as one man. But when you're independent, you know, the man of God says, everybody raise their right hand, you raise your left hand. You know, that's independence. That's rebellion. You know, the man of God said, turn around five times, you turn around one time, or don't turn around at all. That's rebellion, you know. And you see, one thing I'm learning, everything you do is an act of your submission and your surrender. And at the same time, recognizing I've been given instruction by an apostle, a man that has a heaven to earth connection. If I obey the prophet, you know, so shall I prosper, you know. So what if it don't make no sense? It ain't got to make no sense. A lot of things Jesus said didn't make any sense. Go spit on the ground and put mud in somebody's eyes and tell them to go wash their eye. That don't make no sense. But out of humble submission, when he did it, he got his eyesight. Okay? You know, so it's about recognizing how to honor and how to submit and how to flow in, because what you want invariably is the blessing. And a lot of times, a lot of the instructions is just to see, or are you going to follow instruction? And then at the same time, you see, that's kind of like why Jesus taught in parables. You know, for those people, so those people who had understanding, they'll get more understanding. But people, you know, you'll be given an instruction and you don't do it, well, then you don't have no understanding. You don't understand what's going on. You know, you think you know it all. You think you the man, but, you know, but you're the one that's not getting no manifestation, not getting no healing, not getting no prosperity, because you got that independent spirit. And let me move on. Honor says, in whom, in him, in Christ, in him I live, I move, and I have my being. That's what honor says. In him I live, and I move, and I have my being. Of my own self, I can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ. That's what honor says. In my own ability, I can't do nothing. You know, that's why when I get up here, I make the statement. I say, Lord, if the Holy Spirit don't show up, I know I'm going to fall flat on my face, because, Lord, I'm operating as a barefooted priest. When the priests went into the temple, they had bells on their garments, and they tied a rope around them. And every step they took, you know, they was real careful. Because if they made a mistake and did something that they weren't supposed to do, they're going to fall over dead, because they were in the presence of God, in the Holy of Holies, where the Shekinah glory of God was dwelling. And so they wanted to make sure that they didn't make a misstep. So whenever I'm ministering, especially when I'm ministering from the pulpit, Lord, I don't want to make no misstep, because I know it might be my last step. And that's the way I look at it, you know. But when you do, and you submit to God to that degree, God is able now to pour out of you more of him, because you're submitted more. And it's not about you. Something the Lord told me years ago, says, son, it's not about you. So forget about you. But it's about you fulfilling God's will for your life and doing what I tell you to do. You know, and that's how you could become humble, walk in humility, and by that virtually you begin to walk in honor. Amen. Let's move on. I got 4 minutes and 19 seconds. Oh, people under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve or acknowledge spiritual authority or a spiritual covering. People under the influence of pride do not serve or acknowledge. I'm going to read it again. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve or acknowledge spiritual authority or a spiritual covering. In other words, why do I need a spiritual covering? Why do I have to submit to spiritual authority? Because I'm in control. I'm my own man. But see, that's pride. Pride binds people spiritually. It makes them unable to receive or to walk in the covenant that God, through the blood of Jesus, they will not have spiritual discernment. A person who's walking in pride will not have spiritual discernment, because that serpent, that spirit of Leviathan has choked them. And the scales, if you think about a fish scales, is so hard. And it's, if you know, it's, when you ever had to clean a fish, those scales, it's just one after the other. And imagine a fish or some serpent with scales on it gripping you, and is not letting spiritual discernment come in. It's blocking you from all that God wants to say to you. And that's why they use that illustration of a sea monster, of a serpent, of a some creature that twists and covers itself around you. That's what pride does. And that's why it's so hard to break the grip of pride when pride gets rooted and seated on the inside of you. The reason many people get so shut up in pride is because of the effects of Leviathan. Its tight call around them inhibits the move of the Holy Spirit. They cannot hear or discern the Holy Spirit, and they say they never get a word from God, you know, or they never move in the gifts of the Spirit. The reason is that no heir of the Holy Spirit, you know, or no move of the Spirit is able to get into or get through to them, because of that demonic spirit that has entangled itself around them. Amen. But humbleness and humility is required to receive revelation and walk in true covenant relationship But many times people are simply unwilling to humble themselves and to walk in true honor because of pride. A servant of Christ is a believer who serves the people. If you want to serve, pride will prevent you from serving and submitting to others. Humbleness and humility is required to serve the people. Pride always wants to be on top and in control. A person who is full of pride wants the entire world to submit to them and to serve them. A major problem among Christian leaders and believers today is the lack of submission and service. Listen to what I'm about to say. They seek reasons not to serve or to continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under someone who they consider less knowledgeable or who has served less time than them. Read that again. A true problem among Christian leaders and believers today is a lack of submission and service. Okay? They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under somebody who has less knowledge or who's younger, you know, because you're just a young upstart. You're trying to tell me what to do. I see it, you know, or somebody who has less years in ministry, you know. Don't let that be you. Amen. Amen. All right. My time is up. 1 second. Amen.